Well, good to see everyone tonight. We're glad you're here. We're going to get right into where we've been dealing with in this Galatians series, understanding Galatians in light of Torah. We're moving right along. There's a lot to this. I said it from the very beginning. This was going to be quite the series, a lot of information. I'm going to do just a little review. It seems like every time we get here, we got it's too far in between. It seems like it's been a while, but it's week to week, and here we are again. But let me just cover a little bit of review. I want to talk about where we've been, what we've been talking about, because we've been in the fourth chapter of Galatians. And we came across that Galatians 4:22, and we looked at, for it is written, in that 4:22, you could turn there, it is written. I won't have these slides, I'd have to back up to show them to you, but I'll just take you on this journey real quick through this. And it said there in that fourth chapter, for it is written that Abraham had two sons. Now he's trying to get us somewhere, he's trying to explain to us this whole event. Because up until now, this event didn't make a whole lot of sense on how it applies to the church. But he's sharing it now. Here's the Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia, and they're dealing with this issue of circumcision after salvation, or circumcision in order for salvation to be complete. And he's dealing with all sorts of issues. But he talks about this in 22. He says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondsmaid and the other by a free woman. Now, the bondsmaid and the free woman, we have to understand that Abraham was married to Sarah. That was his wife. But because he took this bondmaid, she became a wife to him just because of their coming together. They were in covenant. But he who was of the bondswoman was born after the flesh. Notice what he said. Tell us, he's explaining this to us. He said, he, that's Ishmael, born of the bondswoman was a product of the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Hence, God's promise to Sarah. About this time, I'll come back again. You're going to have a, be with child. You're going to have this son. You're going to name him Isaac. So we looked at that, Sarah, Isaac, freedom, Hagar, Ishmael, bondage. In verse 24, it says, which things are an allegory? Now, what things? The things we just got finished discussing. This whole thing about Abraham and Sarah and Hagar, Ishmael and Isaac, freedom and bondage. He says, which things, that subject, or allegories, for these are the two covenants. These, meaning talking about Ishmael and Hagar, Isaac and Sarah, these are the two covenants. And we've been in the two covenants looking at both of them. We're looking at the old covenant and the new covenant. One from Mount Sinai, which genders to bondage, which is Hagar. In verse 25, this is Hagar, is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. So know that the whole thing was in bondage, not just some, the whole thing. So we got to have something different. Now, was it in bondage under the old covenant? Well, of course it was. There was still, it was in place until the promise came. It's in place. Was it needful? Well, Paul said, if it wouldn't have been for the law, I wouldn't have known covetousness. I wouldn't have knew it. But why was it put in place? Because of transgressions. Because of transgressions. So we covered all these things. But Jerusalem, which now is above, is free. So we're getting from one, which is in bondage with her children, to the one that is free, which is the mother of us all. And so we're going to look at that as we continued in this. And we went through the old covenant, covered so many things there. and talked about the commandments and all the principles of that. But let me go. I'll start right here. I'll just point out this one slide to you, and then we'll go right to where we're going to cover tonight. Let me see. Go to slide 822. Sunday, I covered some of this. I'm going to just give this little review, and then we'll go back to where we left off. So this is the things we covered right here. This is what we've been looking at, covering this. And we're just about to finish on the sacrifices. We're going to finish that up. I need to move right through that tonight to be ready for in the morning, because we're going to shift gears just a little bit. But tonight, I'm going to finish up this part. But we're looking at toward the old covenant, the commandments, the temple, tabernacle in stone, mediator, Moshe, the priesthood, Aaron, the sacrifice had to be clean animals. We covered all those things. In the Brit Hadishah, the new covenant, location, there's a change. Where is it at? The heart. Now keep that in mind, because we're going to get a little farther in that in the morning. We're going to go a little farther in that. And what I teach in the morning is going to be critical to you as a believer in order to be the witness. We're going to, how many of you know that you got to be equipped to handle when people come at you with, why y'all keeping Torah? Why y'all Torah observant? Not keeping Torah, but Torah observant. I'm going to give you all the tools you're going to need to answer those questions. You ain't going to have to be, well, you know, you don't have to say pastor said. I'm going to show you in the scripture. Because it doesn't matter what I'm saying. What matters is what you do you know. And you got to know it for yourself. It's got to become real to you. And so tomorrow I'm going to give you those scripture and we're going to look at it. It's absolutely critical to you to know what you're doing it for. You got to see it for yourself. When it comes real to you, you're going to be able to articulate it. It's going to be something that you can get into dialogue with anybody. You're going to just show them what the scripture says. And that's going to be important. So that location's the heart. Keep that in mind, because that part is going to come up often. The mediator, Yeshua. We got a different mediator. The priesthood, Melchizedek. So we have this king-priest order now initiated for the very first time. Both king and priest. And then the sacrifice was the sinless Messiah. Without spot, without blemish, he was the sacrifice. So these are some of the things that we covered. And I went through that, and dealing with the blood, I read that fourth verse of Hebrews 10. That's where we've been. Hebrews chapter 10, in between the reading Hebrews 10, we kind of been all over just looking at verses going along with Hebrews chapter 10. But I looked at that, for it is not possible that the blood of the bulls and goats should take away sin. If it's not possible, then there has to be something else that comes. Because if it's possible, there's no need for anything else to come. But he said it's not possible. Why were they doing it? We got to understand, this comes along, this writing, and for all this time they've been doing it. For over 1,400 years, they've been doing it. Can you see how strange it would be that somebody would come along and say, you don't have to do it anymore? Can you see where that could cause a fight? We only been doing stuff for a little while and change, and it caused a fight. They've been doing it for over 1,400 years. It's going to cause a stir. He said, it's impossible for what you've been doing to take away sin. Why have we been doing it? What are you talking about? That's where we've been dealing with, because we're dealing with that fourth one on the sacrifices there. So I want to catch right back up. But let me just tell you, on Sunday, I covered that Psalms 40. And he said, a body thou hast prepared me. And we finished up on Isaiah 53. 1 through 12, and it was just amazing, just fascinating to me to hear the wonderful words of the prophet after understanding all the things that we have been looking at. So let me read Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1, and we'll take it from there. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, notice these words, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comer thereunto perfect. Can never. Over 1,400 years of doing something, and then here comes this writing, and he says, it can never. That could cause some serious stir. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshiper once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. Verse number 3. But in those sacrifices, that's, let me catch you back up. 8:55. Sorry about that. 8:55. I left off on 600 or something, and I done jumped down quite a bit. There we go. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. What is that? Yom Kippur. In those sacrifices, there's a remembrance of sin. Keep that in mind, a remembrance of sin. Because tomorrow we're going to talk about that. As a remembrance of sin every year. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. That's Psalms 40. Remember we looked at it in the Septuagint also? That's Psalms 40. And so very important. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Verse 7, Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O Elohim. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. I want you to notice these terms that he's using. Verse 9, Then he said, lo, I come in to do thy will, O Elohim. He taketh away the first. The first is what? What is the first he's referring to? He takes away the first, the old covenant, that he may establish the second, the new covenant. That Hebrews 8:13, remember that? We went over that. In that he set a new covenant, and he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth, or is decaying, or passing away, and waxeth old, is ready to vanish away. So there's a change happening. How many know we talked about change is coming? When change is coming, it's going to be a transition period. There'll be a transitioning period, and we'll see some verses on that later on. Verse 10, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua Messiah once for all. Notice that. So we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Messiah once for all. What's the difference? The difference is, before, they would do it year by year, and they would remember those sins year by year. But by which we are sanctified through the body of Messiah, Yeshua Messiah, once for all. Very important. Under the new covenant, Messiah Yeshua was raised from the dead. Under the old covenant, no animal was ever raised from the dead. There's a big difference. They died and it was over. Christ died, he was raised from the dead. So where's the power to institute or to bring into fruition the new covenant, the resurrection? Remember that. The power is in the resurrection. To which animal did God ever say, we need to raise that animal back? It died, it paid the price, the penalty was paid. But we're going to raise that animal back. None of them. They perished. But when Christ died, what did he do? He raised him from the dead. Set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, every name that's named. Gave him gave him some authority to be head. He's the one that we go to. And that is transferred, as it were, to the church. And these are important principles to understand. Valuable that we understand these principles. So, I'm just covering some of these things. I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight, but I have to finish this portion of it in order to start where I really want to start. I was going to try to do it tonight, and I didn't realize I didn't cover a lot of these verses on Sunday. I didn't realize I stopped so soon, so I was not able to cover it tonight, what I want to talk about. But I want you to think about this. Verse 11 says, "And every priest standing daily ministering and oftentimes the same sacrifice." Notice that. The same sacrifice. "Which can never take away sin." Notice that. "Which can never take away sin. But this man," talking about Yeshua, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of Elohim." Verse 13, "For from henceforth, expecting to his enemy be made his footstool." There's a change that happened under the new covenant. None of those sacrifices could do what the one sacrifice done. And if they could have done those things, they would still be doing those things. Let me just tell you how important this is to understand. You know, it seems like things go full circle. There was this time period in the church, talking about church history, after all the martyrdom and the persecution of the church, church kind of just went off and began to do its thing. There was splinter church after splinter church after splinter church. Organized church became very popular. Organized church, where we had organized groups, and those groups became large groups throughout the world. And what we're seeing now is that there's a mass revival of an exodus, as it were, of people coming from those organized groups to what's called coming back to Torah principles. And it's a great thing. So it happened over the last 10 years. So you're in it. You can't say, "Well, I wasn't around then." It was. You're in it. We're right in the midst of this great revival that's happening, where people are waking up all over from different groups saying, "We missed something here." And that's a wonderful thing, but there's also danger in that. I said to you from the very beginning when we first started talking about this, I said the danger is folks have to remember, you could be involved in one, so much involvement that you neglected the other, totally neglected it. Then you realize that you did that and you feel so bad that you embrace the one you neglected so much that you forget where your salvation's at. So there's groups, splinter groups, that are happening in this revival. And they're stating that ultimately at the end will be animal sacrifices again. And there's verses on that. And when we get to those verses, I'm going to show you the ones they're going to point out. So if you're having a talk with somebody, I want you to know where those verses are. I want you to be able to understand and articulate to them why they're wrong about what they're pointing out. I mean, you know, when there's a transition period, you could be simultaneously doing both of those things while the transition is coming to its completion. I mean, to understand that makes sense. That's what we see Paul actively involved in. And we're going to show you that. So I want you to be aware of what's happening. I want you to be aware that, yes, you're going to get those comments. Comments are going to be made that they may ask questions. And you've probably been asked these questions. "Well, if you y'all now doing Torah, do y'all observe the food laws? Or do you stone your children?" How many understand that? And that, it's not people trying to just poke fun at you. Some people may really want to know, what did you do with those? About one-third of the Torah, the laws deal with temple service. So if Christ fulfilled all of that, one third of it's already done. But if I ask you to name five or six of those things, it might be hard pressed for us to even name, and they're one third of them over. You see what I'm saying? So we got some homework to do. We got stuff that we got to immerse ourselves in, because we want to walk in this, and we don't want to embarrass the Lord when it comes time to talk about it. Nor do we want to step into the shadow and not have this dialogue. There's no reason for it. You'd love to have that dialogue, but we want to know where we're coming from. We want to be able to point out the scripture and what it says. So I just wanted to put that out there, that we're dealing with this. I'm seeing people who come who don't even believe that Paul the apostle was a true apostle. That's part of this movement, part of this revival. You see how the enemy is crafty? And you got to be careful. So this week, I spent some time just contemplating and thinking about what is wrong. You know, we're talking about this blood, and we're talking about all these wonderful things. Think about what we just read. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of Elohim. It's a powerful thing. Shed his blood. He was raised from the dead. No animal was raised from him. I'm thinking about all this. I'm like, God, you know, with all this wonderful truth, what's wrong with man? What is it? And I went back to Galatians 3. And we may back up. We may have to back up to Galatians 3. I wasn't going to do it tonight. And I just because of the time it would take to do it, I'm not able to go back to the slides. But you could take some time and go back when we was in Galatians 3. But I'll just bring some to your remembrance in 3:19. And we think about that. I'll just take you there. Let me take you there so you can see it and make a note of it. I'm going to read this portion to you because it's so important for us to understand, because what I'm going to say next, I want you to have some reference to why I'm saying this. Galatians 3, the question got asked in verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? What was the point in it? It was added because of transgression. I mean, see that word transgression. It was added because of transgression. Well, somebody help me here. When did transgression start? It started in the garden. My question to you is sometimes we forget that it didn't stop there. Every generation after that continued in transgression. It wasn't because Adam sinned that I sinned. It was my participation in doing what I just done what he did. It wasn't what he did that made me do what I did. You see, we get that kind of twisted. We think because of one man sent into the world, and after that, I couldn't help myself. Oh, we could help ourselves. Believe me, we definitely could help ourselves. But we were underneath the attack of the enemy. There was an enemy that attacked in the garden. It's the same enemy that attacked you and I. When we was able to think for ourselves to do right and wrong, we participated in doing the wrong that we did. We transgressed the law. Not Adam transgressed the law. Therefore, I'm just a transgressor because I had him. No, I'm a transgressor because of Jesse. I transgress. So I read it to you again because this is important. He says, wherefore then serveth the law? Question. It was added because of transgression. It was added because of transgression. You ever thought about the depravity of man, the human race, and how it progressed so fast? I was thinking about this week. thinking about it, I said, you know, this thing progressed fast, because by the time we get to Genesis 6, God's got to say, you know what? I repent that I made the human race. We got some problems here. The problem's so big. We have to destroy mankind off the face of the earth. And he found Noah, a righteous man. And he had him build this ark. You know, we went to the ark. And I don't know if it was part of just going to the ark, but I was thinking about this the whole time. I was like, are you kidding me? You got almost a snowball effect. Generation after generation. It didn't take long. I mean, just look at Cain. It wasn't what Adam did that made Cain do what he did. Do you understand that? He knew not to do that. I mean, you got to know. You got to know that killing your brother is wrong. You don't. What right do you have to take his life because you're miserable? And that's what it was. He was miserable with himself. And God dealt with him. He said, look, you don't have to do this. You don't have to. Think about that. But here he is. He's going to do what he wants to do because of his own transgression. So why was the law added? Because of transgressions. Now, transgressions came way before the law. We're talking about Genesis. We still don't have Abraham, not until we get to the 12th, 13th, 11th chapter. It starts going on, but 12th, 13th. Here we got Abraham coming on the scene, 15th. We got all this happening. Then we're going to have his sons born. Then we're going to have what we just read about. These two covenants are set in place. And then generations go on. Before we know, we got Jacob and his 12 sons. And we got all these people, not to mention the Goyim, the Gentile nations. They're there. I mean, we're reading about them. They're there. Remember, he calls Abraham, says, come from out your people. I'll make nations of you. But what about them people? Are there no counters? God said he would pick a people for himself, but that was to bring about change. It was to try to teach a generation of people that if you listen to what I say, you don't get into that deprived notions that is happening around the world. You understand? How many understand that that's what we have to think in those terms? There were still other people, just like the people that lived. Well, here's what happens in Genesis 6 that I think we fail to realize. It says, the sons of God took the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. That right there is a transgression. The angels transgressed. Did not Lucifer transgress? Did not that cherubim, the covered cherubim, the beautiful cherubim, did he not transgress? Yes, he transgressed. He didn't want to do what he was told to do. The council was there. He didn't want to say, you know what Elohim said? Elohim said that his prized possession that he made, he's going to give that earth to them. They're going to have dominion over it. It's going to be theirs. And matter of fact, y'all are going to have to give obedience to them. Don't fool with them. Well, I'm a fool with them. I'm a fool with them because I'm mad. Well, I thought I was going to get that. I'll tell you what, I'll just build my kingdom above here, and I'll take all these angels with me. You see? Transgression. Why was the law added? Because of transgression. If we think for a moment that was just Adam's transgression, we're fooling ourselves. The transgression of the angels. And I want you to think about this. It's got to be fixed. Right? It's got to be fixed. We got to fix that. Let me just read a little bit farther on. It says, till the seed should come, the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is one. Yahweh is one. So there was something that was said. And then something said in order to make sure nobody took it wrong. I'm going to read it again because I want you to see that. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is one. There's an effect that happens. There's an effect that happens when transgressions are made. Did Adam's transgression affect others? Well, of course it did. It affects other people because the potential for failure is there. And what's lost ultimately is the glory. The encounter with God is lost. That glory, which glory they put a veil over after Moses had that encounter. And there remains a veil to this day. How many remember these readings? In the reading of the scripture. It's still there. But how many want where there be no veil? It can't happen under the old covenant. It has to be under the new covenant because we've got to realize what Christ has done. Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem that happens because I'm asking the Lord this. Then what is it? Well, that transgression will continue if we don't have the right spirit in us. Tomorrow morning I'm going to talk about the spirit is the life, but the letter kills. We can go back, just like the Galatians said to, why would you want to go back? After you've been set free from what kills you. Keeping these rituals, they're to be kept by His Spirit, but not by the letter. That's what I'll talk about in the morning. And I'm going to show you why you need to know that, because this is what you're up against almost on a daily basis. With family members, neighbors, friends, school, kids that you go to school with, co-workers, you name it, you're up against it. I want you to be equipped so you know what happens. But listen to me. When the angels sinned, they took the daughters of men and they bore children, the giants, in the land. If you read the book of Enoch, it talked about all these things. I think the book of Enoch could possibly be the Rosetta Stone of understanding the beginning of Scripture and why things went the way they went. But it's about the spirits. Now, Paul picked up on it, Peter picked up on it, Jude picked up on it, and Jesus picked up on it. To me, that's four that got some pretty good backing that we ought to pay attention to what they picked up on. And what they picked up on is every one of them quoted from the book of Enoch. And the thing that we have to understand about this, that Peter dealt with, is the spirits. The spirits looking to get somebody to be the carrier, the host. If you're the host body, you're going to be led by that spirit. In your mind, you might not want to do it, but you're going to be doing it. You're going to be doing whatever, even though, because you might know that scripture's been read to you, been told before, don't do that, it's not good for you. How many of you ever done something that you knew wasn't right, you knew it wasn't good for you, but you done it anyway? That was a different spirit leading you to do that. That wasn't God's spirit. What New Covenant does, it cancels out the old spirit. Now, we have an example of this. He took them from Egypt, and what should have took them about 2 years to get done, it wound up taking them an additional 38 years, hence 40 years wandering, till that generation died off because they had the wrong spirit. But Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit in them. They were led by something different. It was showing us that there is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Yahweh, who wants to guide us and direct us. And he's doing that under this new covenant. It's a powerful thing. It's how you get over it. How you say, man, I just can't get over it. I don't know why it's so hard. I can tell you why it's so hard is because there's a different spirit that's been leading you to do that. And that can be canceled out. That's what Christ died for, to cancel that out. Not to mention he was raised from the dead. Not one animal was raised from the dead. To which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemy your footstool? To which one did he say that? And all those spirits have been orchestrated by Hasatan. All of them. They have their ruler. We have our ruler. Our ruler sends his spirit. He sent his only begotten son. He gives us this way. Their ruler is going to use multiple demonic influences to influence people to do things that are completely contrary to what they know is right. They'll be influenced. See, you say, well, you know, I don't know why I did what I did. I'm telling you why you did what you did. You were influenced. You were influenced by a demonic spirit, and he couldn't control you unless you let him host you. You became the host body. The moment Christ comes in, he gets rid of all that. He said, he comes in there, you got to go, you got to go, you got to go. That's why you can be under an addictive host spirit, because they're all spirits. If you got an addiction, that's the spirit of addiction. When Christ comes in, he said, you got to go, and you can be instantly off of that addiction. That's how it happens, because the spirit's got to go. You're not led by that anymore. And you go, what just happened to me? Well, what happened to you was Christ come in and he served an eviction notice and said, it's not going to happen. This is my child. That's what happens. Now, as we're going along in life, at any given time, we can allow that to be constantly after you. Constantly. That's why we ought to seek the Lord constantly. We got to seek him daily. It's an ongoing relationship. It's every day with him. It's important. We used to sing a song a long time ago. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Says he keeps me. He's the one I'm waiting on. These are great songs. Every day. Not some days. You get up in the morning and sing, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day. That day's over. What you going to do today is going to count. And guess what? The Holy Spirit's coming alongside and says, you know what? Today we're just going to have, it's going to be a bad day. We're going to get mad at everything and at everybody, and our feelings are going to get hurt. And we just get ready, because today your feelings is going to get hurt. You're going to get crushed. You're going to get defriended. And the moment that happens, you know what you're going to say? Not today. No, we're not going to have that today, because this is the day the Lord has made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Don't make a difference what happens. This is the day he's made. And I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Well, you walk out your house after you said that, and you look at your car and your tire's flat. You just got finished making a declaration. You know what you do? You get your song tune and you whistle it until the trunk opens and the jack comes out. I don't even know if they keep them in the trunk no more, but years ago, that's where they were. But wherever they are, back seat, under the hood, they're somewhere. And if you don't let somebody point it out, I've had folks say, you know, I'd have changed my flat, but I couldn't find the jack. But regardless, you know what you ought to be doing while you're looking for it? Whistling, singing. Melody in your heart saying, Lord, I just thank you. It's still a good day. Yes. It's a great day. And what's going to happen? They're going to realize, well, they're not available today. Back off. Cool, I get myself in trouble. And they back off. Well, you think they're going to stop? They're going to come again. You're not going to ever reach a spot. Well, you think you're in the perfect place and nothing ever going to happen to you. You're going to be fine. If you're looking for that to happen, you're kidding yourself. The only chance you and I have is we got to endure to the end. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. But that day, that's going to be a glorious day. Because then the victory is there. So I wanted to point that out to you, that the transgression continued to go on. That's what caused such depravity in human race. How many see that we still have that same depravity going on in the world today? I was just going over just some news articles today. News articles of stuff happening around the world. You ought to take some time. When you're not busy and you got a few minutes, don't try to look for the news that's local. They have a clue. They're trying to figure out who stole what over here. They have no clue what's going on around the world. Take some time and go look at real news where people are struggling, and thousands of people losing their life, and people are dying, and there's a lot of stuff going on. And you just ask yourself, what is going on with man? It's like there's not enough killing, not enough chaos. We got countries in total chaos. You know, there's no peace in Israel. There's no peace in on the Golan Heights there. There's no peace there on the Temple Mount. They're fighting every day. Every day there's explosions going off. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's earthquakes all over. All over. Just go and Google how many earthquakes happen and put the date in. Put like today's date. How many earthquakes reported around the world? You're going to be shocked. But they're not saying that on the news unless it's a massive one that kills 100,000 people. You hardly hear about it. But they're happening every day. Go on there and say, how many active wildfires in the world? Stuff's burning down everywhere. Google, how many active volcanoes that are spewing lava and just burning up people's stuff all over the place. You understand? There's stuff going on. This world's not, you know, sometimes we get in here and we sing a song, man. You get in it and you feel it. You feel like, you know what, right now I'm feeling so good. Well, listen, why you're feeling so good? It's chaos all around you. And if you wonder why people are struggling, that's why. The enemy is trying to just make them feel like there's no hope. What are you talking about? Hope? You singing about hope and happiness and joy? You ought to be where I'm at right now. You think there's hope? Think about that. How many families there is that are in total chaos? How many divisions and dividings and divorce and children lost and the bickering and the fighting? Think about all that's going on around the world. And the hatred. And all the babies that are just being slaughtered in the womb. And so we got to, don't forget, we can't get lost in the song here. We got to remember, there's a hurting world. So what you know is going to matter, because you might meet that one person tomorrow. And you're going to say, let me tell you what we talked about last night. This is why you're struggling. Because the depravity of man, outside of the rescue of Holy Spirit and a miracle that God gave, you're not going to make it. Because you're being led by the spirits that prove through history that they never get enough. There's a bloodthirst for the life of human beings. Well, I'm going to tell you, as thirsty as the thirst is for the enemy to destroy the human race, there's also a God who loves us so much that he wants to give us every chance he can, and he has. But it's the reason people are missing it, because they don't know. They're not coming to realize it. Our message has to get louder. We got to get a voice. We got to know what we're talking about, and it's got to just flow out of us. Because he says, if you believe, as the scripture says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this, he spoke of the Holy Spirit, but it not was not yet given, because he had not yet been glorified. He was just prophesying this. This is in John. This he spoke of Holy Spirit. Can you imagine the power that's in Holy Spirit? When you're being led by the Holy Spirit, there's power in it. You see the same scene. You can come, two people standing there, and they're looking. You got 12 guys, they're looking. And they're seeing all this stuff, huge city, huge walls, giants of people, and they're looking at all of it. And they look at it, count their number, and they count there, and they go, wow, man, we're outnumbered. 12 people looking at the same scene, and 10 of them go, you know what? We need to go back where we come from. Let's go back to pagan living. Let's go back in the muck and mire to be nothing but slaves. Two of them says, why would we do that? Let's go take them right now. They're bred for us. How could two see a different picture looking at the same scene? Can I tell you why? The spirit in them. That's the difference. What causes depravity of man is the spirit in them. And it's not God's spirit. You ever heard people say, well, you know, if God loves everybody and God's so good, why does God let this happen? All this stuff happen. See, we want to blame God for the bad, rarely praise him for the good, and never put the blame truly on where the reason the bad is there, because we're being led by a different spirit. And that's what some of the things I thought about this week. And I figured I'd just let it out all tonight. Was that all right? I'm still in Galatians, too. That Galatians 3, and I could go into 4. There's another verse in 4, but I can't do it tonight. All right. Verse 14 of Hebrews 10. Let's finish this up. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. How many see that? How long you been perfected for? Forever. How many offerings? One. Wherefore, the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. The what? Holy Spirit is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, verse 16, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. What is he quoting here? Hebrews is quoting Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah. He's quoting Jeremiah here. This is the covenant that I will make with thee after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my law in their hearts. I just read that Jeremiah to you, went over to Jeremiah 31. We looked at that prophecy. And here he is quoting it in Hebrews. The Hebrew writer's quoting, he's using script. Can you imagine? Silly Hebrews writer using scripture. It's amazing how much scripture they use. And we don't see how important it is. Watch what he says. I will put my law in their hearts and write it in their minds, and I will write them. Verse 17. And he skips a portion. So they don't go in order. And he just skips all the way over. And he comes out in a different portion of that prophecy. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that something? What about the Yom Kippur service? Year by year, there was a remembrance of sin. Year by year, there was a remembrance of sin. But in this new covenant, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. How many see the difference in that change? How many thank God for that? I will remember. They're not here. Listen, he's not here just to forgive you. We got to get this remember no more down. We really do. Because it's when the enemy comes to you, that those other spirits come and says, you're never going to make it. You're never going to be all right. And then they'll go back and take you back years ago and talking about how it was. And you start remembering all those things. That's the enemy doing what he does best to try to trick. Then in Hebrews 10:3, which we had already, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. I wanted to point it out to you. It's made every year. In those sacrifices, in the sacrificial lambs, rams, bullocks, you name it, there was a remembrance of sin every year. But he said, when I sacrifice, you'll remember your sin no more. Isn't that amazing? Verse 18. And now, where remission of these is. Notice that in verse 18, in Hebrews 10, 18, and now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Notice that. There is no more offering for sin. Now, I told you there's splinter groups that are saying eventually we're all going to be just offering up sacrifices again, and they point out a couple of scriptures, and I'll deal with them later. I'll show you where they're wrong, because in transition period, you could simultaneously be doing both things at the same time until one is completely out of the way and the other one completely takes over. And that's what we were dealing with in the time that he's writing this stuff to Galatians. This is first century stuff that they have to understand this transition period. And we'll talk about that later. John 19, verse 30, listen what it said. When Yeshua therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. It is finished. Notice that. Because he knew what was about to happen was going to be the final sacrifice. He was not going to die again, nor does he need to die again. How many understand? I'm going to just tell you, Yeshua does not have to die again because your sins and your iniquities, you feel a weight of them. You just don't know my sin. I'm going to just tell you, no matter how heavy your sin might be, he don't have to die again. You got to live underneath what he already done. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to bring it to your remembrance and make it alive to you. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 is where we get this from. Listen to it. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. This is the prophet Daniel. This is prophecy of Yeshua and what he would do. I just read to you in John, he said, it is finished. Now I'm going to read back. We're going to go back to when his first thing's mentioned. What does he say? To finish the transgression and to make end of sins. Isn't that something? To make reconciliation for iniquities and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Isn't that amazing? I just thought that was powerful because it's prophesied in Daniel 9 what he would do in John. Johnson, he said, it is finished. Psalms 103, verse number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed thy transgressions from us. Isn't that something? That couldn't have been done in animal sacrifice. When he removes the sin from you, that's him dying for us. Dying and rising again. Remember, the power is in the resurrection, that he put him at his own right hand till his enemy be made his footstool. And they're all enemy. Listen, what Hasatan got mad about, he's going to have to do. Do you understand that? He's going to be like this in front of Yeshua. He got told to do this and he got mad. And he's going to have to bow and then he's going to be destroyed. Think about it. He hates it. I'm the best angel. I'm not going to bow to man. They made lower than the angels. Why would I bow to them? Because God said. But here's the thing. To which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand? Because some people want to make Christ an angel. He's no angel. That hurts people's feelings, just me saying that. He's not an angel. You know, Lord, we just thank you for our wonderful angel, Jesus. People pray like that. Listen, he's no angel. To which of the angels said he at any time sit on my right hand? He's been elevated to a position because he did what God asked him to do. I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. And he was exalted above all principalities and powers. He was exalted above all of that. Now, I want you to get this. Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes we think our issue is just us getting over us. Come, you know, when they talked about wrestling not against flesh and blood, that includes you. We take that as other people. Most people fight themselves more than other people. Nonetheless, there's a jousting going on. You're either jousting with you or you're jousting with other flesh and blood. And he said, that's not the problem. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the real jousting for position is against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. Hence, Genesis 6, the sin of the watchers. They came down and took the women. Christ was made of a woman. There's a big difference. The rest of the gods of the world says, sacrifice your children to us. Our God gave his only begotten son. It's a big difference. Do you see that? And you say, what do we have to shout about? What do we have to sing about? What do we have to worship about? Are you kidding me? Think about how incredible God is. And the fact that we're just sitting here hearing the stuff we're hearing. We're blessed people. And God wants it. There's got to be a reason behind it. What is the reason behind us hearing it? He wants us to be conduits. He wants us to be light and salt. He wants us to spread the gospel. Get people out there. And you might not think people want to hear it, but they do. They're just waiting for somebody to pull up to a gas station and say, you can change. Just somebody. And say, you ought to tell us the Lord, I want to do that. I want to be that person. Verse 19, Hebrews 10, 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Yeshua. And here's verse 20, by a new and living way. A what? A new and living way. By a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Think about it. God is amazing. And having a high priest over the house of Elohim, verse 22, ready? Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That is absolutely amazing. Verse 23, and let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. I mean, you know, you got to hold fast the profession of your faith. The battle's real. There's no joking about it. It is out there. It's out there. Let me just tell you this. And I'll get into it later on, but I got to say this. I was going over this today, and I wouldn't have said it if the Lord wouldn't have reminded me of it. Whatever you participate in, whatever your activities are, if all it is a precursor or a dress rehearsal till the real event comes. There's a real event that's going to come. Let me give you an example. If you got a guy, we just heard about this just yesterday, and me and Charlotte talked, I said, man, we didn't even know this. And it was, you know, you think about it, it's hurtful. How many of you know the enemy just wants to hurt? He wants to destroy people, destroy their families. But if you got a guy who's constantly on the internet, he's constantly looking up pretty women, he's married, that's a dress rehearsal to the big event that's coming. It's coming. It's coming, but you're constantly giving yourself over to that spirit. And that spirit's just working his way in. He's getting his furniture the way he wants it. He ain't going to move yet. He's going to get you where he wants you first. It might be hours spent. Hours. It might be days, weeks, and months, even a year. Married and constantly in that enemy's prepping, getting ready, getting ready. Man, you let me in every day. I got my furniture in. I'm going to move in. This is my house now. And all of a sudden, he says, guess what? You're mine now. And the divorce comes. He's out to wreck it. But let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit, you let him in, and he'll get things right. It ain't going to be perfect day one, because there's some stuff need cleaning. There's things that needs moving around, but you let him in. You keep letting him in. You keep letting him in. It's just rehearsal right now for the event. It's coming. The event's coming. And I was going over these things today in my mind. I was like, God, I remember the times when I was doing the opposite of this. I put my life out there on the line. That was crazy. You don't even think about it. You don't even think about it at the time. But he reminds you and says, you know what? While you, I kept you. I kept you from that. Complete, utter torture and chaos. I kept you from that. So what do you want to do? You want to say, God, what I want is your spirit every day. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. Because if we pick and choose, we're only going to pick the easy way. Not the hard way. We don't want the hard way because it's difficult. We're going to pick the easy way. But if we allow him every day to come and do his thing, do whatever it is you want to do, Lord. Soften my heart. I want to yield to you. That's what will happen. How many want that for your life? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? He is faithful that promised. Verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Why? Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You don't think it counts what you do? Listen, if you always discouraged, it's going to bring discouragement to other people. If you discouraged, don't expect your wife to be encouraged. You're fooling yourself. Don't expect your kids to be all jolly and nothing going on. You bring in that discouragement, it's going to leak over on everybody. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. But if you get the love of the Lord in your life and you got encouragement, you're going to find a difference around you. That's why he said, let us consider one another. While we're going through all this, let us consider each other and to provoke unto love and the good works. That's what we should be doing. Watch what he says, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day's approaching, ain't it? Well, what ought we be doing? We ought to be at every Bible study we get to. We ought to be at every service we get to, because the day's approaching. I just read it to you. Am I in the same chapter? I didn't switch chapters. I'm not taking this verse because I like it. I'm in the same chapter. It's not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as some manner, the manner of some is, but exhorting one another in so much that the more as you see the day approaching. Well, that's all I have for tonight. I mean, I have a lot more, but I'm not going to do it no more. Tomorrow, you can put up that next slide. That's tomorrow morning. Oh, I have them here. Sorry about that. Anyway, I sent that one, and I have these others. I did them at home. So anyway, the next one, it'll be the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. We're going to look at that. So in the morning, we're going to go down that, looking at those verses. I appreciate your time tonight. Thank God for you. I know I went a little extra time tonight just because I needed to get to this spot to finish. So I really am encouraged in the Word of God and what's happening. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be exciting. It might take two services to do it, but we're going to equip ourselves to know how to take on when people say different things about being Torah observant, Torah, keeping the spirit of Torah. Amen. God bless.